I met my husband in 2006, and we were married about a year later. We had the typical long-distance courtship because I was in the Bay Area and he was here, which meant we had to rely on phone calls, texts, emails to really get to know each other. This was when Facebook was really in its infancy, and I don't even think Twitter and Instagram were anywhere around. Smartphones had, I think, just emerged into the market. We couldn't afford them anyway. So believe it or not, it might be hard for some of you, especially the youth, to understand, but our form of a selfie was actually introducing ourselves to each other. We didn't, you know, do that. Now, for those of you who know my husband, you know that we are very different, and actually we get that all the time, like, oh, you guys are so different. We are, we're very different, and we are the classic opposites attract sort of a couple. Alhamdulillah, we're also very similar in many ways, which is why we're together. But the differences between us really came apparent to me during the very first year of our marriage. In the first few months, you know, those delicate honeymoon, that honeymoon phase. But in those first 3 months, I remember we had attended a lecture similar to this. I think it was in a hall. I don't know if it was here in Chapman, but it was in another university. And I remember we had, you know, we didn't get to really interact much during the actual talk. As soon as we finished and we got into the car, I was just so excited. I hadn't heard a lot of the speakers before, and there was so much just rushing through my mind, and I tend to do this, he still complains, and I, you know, kind of bombard him all at once, because as you can tell, I'm talkative, I can be boisterous, and so I was just so excited and enthusiastic about everything that when I looked over at him, he was, you know, just not really as engaged, or he seemed a little disconnected. And of course, I did what all girls do. We took it personally. I took it personally. And I thought, you know, something's wrong, or, you know, he just didn't like the talk. And I just started letting my mind kind of getting carried away. And in his defense, he was focused. He was driving, you know, changing lanes, finding the freeway. And we all know the issue with men and multitasking, but we won't go there. So it wasn't his fault. And, you know, he instantly noticed my mood change. So a few minutes later, he asked, is everything okay, you know? And he wanted to know. And again, you know, it's very early in our marriage. I didn't want to cause a problem, so I kind of played it down. But we did eventually talk about it, and I realized I had completely misread him entirely. Here, I thought that there something, you know, happened. He just wasn't as excited about the program as I was. When in fact, it was just a mere, you know, difference in how we express our enthusiasm and our excitement. I, as we already mentioned, am you know, animated and more expressive. He's more analytical, subdued, reflective, and it takes time for him. So that was really, for me, what I call a springboard moment, because I've always been fascinated about human behavior, and I've done all the personality tests you can think of. I've looked, dabbled into this and that, but I wanted to know, what does Islam have to say about personality differences? There must be something out there. So I just, you know, after this point, I contacted one of my teachers, and sure enough, he directed me to something that I had never heard of before, which is the science of humorism, or the four temperaments, which, inshallah, we're going to get into. But before we get into that, I wanted to know what is the aim of this particular science, and really it is to answer this old age question that we have, you know, that has perplexed humanity for centuries, which is what motivates human behavior? You know, the argument or the debate of nature versus nurture. What is it? Are we born with certain innate qualities that we really can't control? Is it environment solely? Is it both? Because if we looked at any group, I mean, if we had a survey right now of every single person here and we had a scenario, maybe you know, someone trips or falls, but some incident happens, there would be different responses and different reactions from every single person in this group. And of course, we'd see patterns, right? Because there is a pattern to the way that we interact with each other and the way that we react with one another. And even within the same family, interesting enough, you can have siblings, right? I come from a family of five, or five siblings. We're very different in our personality. So you can have people who were raised under the same household, with the same parenting, same set of values, but why is it that their temperaments, their dispositions, their personalities are different? And even studies have shown identical twins. Are there anybody who has twins in their family, or is a twin in this room? Right, sometimes you know twins, some of them, yes, physically they're identical, and they may even act the same way, but other times you find twins who have completely different personalities. So all of these mysteries are really what the aim of this science aims to try to clarify. So if you look back, the history of it, the origins of it, it goes as far back as ancient Egypt or Mesopotamia. And it was directly linked to the theory of the four elements. This idea that there are, you know, air, water, fire, and earth are the four elements, and that human beings are somehow connected to these elements. So if we fast forward, Hippocrates, who's the father of modern Western medicine, he came along and he took these theories and he began to adapt them into his own medical practice. He started looking at people and he saw that, after examining their bodies, he saw that every single human being has the presence of four basic fluids, or what he called humors. And they are phlegm, blood, yellow bile, and black bile. And he theorized that if you had either an excess of or a lack of one of these substances, that it would actually motivate your mood, your behavior, your emotions. So this is what he theorized. And then you fast forward, after him, Galen, another Greek physician, came along, and he took Hippocrates' theories, and he added on to that even more by actually creating a typography. He divided the four temperaments into two categories. Again, connecting with the theory of the elements. He said hot, dry, cold, and wet, and then he gave them names, and we're going to go over those names today. The names are choleric, sanguine, phlegmatic, and melancholic. So what this basically means is that every single human being is going to identify with one of these temperaments more than the others. And there's a primary temperament that you'll identify with, and then a secondary. Now, modern medicine has abandoned this theory altogether, the medical field, but in other fields like psychology, education, and even in religious studies, it's still applied today. So the first one. So when you think of the choleric temperament, the animal that you want to think about is a lion. Because what do we think about when we think of a lion? We think of the king of the jungle, right? They're natural leaders. So a choleric temperament is someone who is a natural leader. They're assertive. They're extroverts. They're reactionary. They are rational, and they're not very emotionally expressive. And their motto is, we like to have it our way. So if you're a choleric, and this is probably speaking your language. If you're a sanguine, which is the next temperament, you are the golden retriever. And again, when you think of a golden retriever, the friendliest dog out there, really sweet, they are the popular, sociable, amiable temperament. They love people, they love large groups, they love to laugh, they're usually the life of the party. They're optimistic, they're also extroverts, and they're reactionary. And their motto is, we like to be popular. Then we have the phlegmatic temperament, and these are the otters. Okay, so think of the otter. They're introverts. They're not very reactionary. They're emotionally expressive. They like to analyze people. They're usually very humble, timid people. They like harmony. They're flexible, and their motto is, we like it peaceful and calm. So again, you might know that as someone who reminds you of that temperament. And the last one is the melancholic. And this is the beaver of the group. So you want to think of a beaver, and what do? Beavers are always building, they need to create. So they're introverts, they're non-reactionary, but they're very focused, they're diligent, they need to get things done, they're disciplined and organized. We all have someone like that in our life, right, who just will come and fix things in your house that are out, you know, that are the frames on the wall, towels need to be lined up correctly. So that's the melancholic. They like order, and their motto is, we like it done the right way. So by now, I'm sure you might feel that you do one of these temperaments, you feel something leaning towards it. But if you're still unsure, the quickest way to determine what you are is two things. First, you want to ask, am I an introvert or an extrovert? And we should all, at this point in our lives, know what we are. And after that, you want to find out, how do I react to things? What is the duration of my reaction? So do you let things go easily, or do you hold on? So if you're someone who is a reactionary person, you react quickly to something. If someone comes in your face and they get upset, you're like, I don't think so. And you just can get right back in their face, and you will then X that person out of your life, you're probably a choleric. Like, I'm done with you. But if you're in their face right away, and then 5 minutes later, you feel bad. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. Can I take you out? Let's go out for coffee, ice cream. What do you want? You're probably a sanguine. You're very worried about, you know, hurting people. So that's a reactionary person. If you're not reactionary, someone upsets you, but you take your time to respond, maybe you send a text message 3 days later, you really hurt my feelings, you know, but I still love you, then you're probably a phlegmatic. And if again, someone gets in your face, but you don't react quickly and you hold grudges, and then 5 years later, you're telling them, that time that you did this to me, you really hurt me, you're probably a melancholic. So these are the ways to know what you are. And I hope that this information leads to what it did for me, which is really more understanding about myself and my personal relationships. And I hope that this is a springboard moment for all of you, and you will dive into this topic even more on your own. Thank you so much.